ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dying time is here. That's right, we're talking about Orca on Animal Attacks April on Kill by Kill. Well, greetings and salutations, and that's your old pal Patrick Hamilton coming to you once again from the beautiful seas surrounding Newfoundland. This is the Kill by Kill podcast, where we talk about horror movie characters in the order in which they die, in the hopes that a fisherman's untimely end is just the beginning of the jokes we can make at their expense. And as always, there's only one person I trust that if I need to be dragged away from a rampaging killer whale, she'll do a little bit more than hand me a net and say, consider climbing. The one, the only, Gina Radcliffe. How are you doing today, Gina?
Well, much like the star of this motion picture, Richard Harris, I have somehow managed to lift myself out of a liquor-soaked haze in order to do this recording.
Well, Harris, known for quite some time, one of my favorite Letterman guests, because he had constant, this is my drinking adventure this one time stories. He is drinking through the predominantly through this, and sometimes you can tell and sometimes you can't, but he looks pretty okay-ish.
I mean, for being 65, although he was actually 46.
Right. That it's a rough 46. That being said, very handsome man. You look into his eyes, you kind of want to melt. Also, a complete fucking idiot in this movie.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to scare you, Gina, but we are not alone. That's right. We have a special guest. You know him as a podcaster and writer whose latest graphic novel, Youth Group, will be available very soon. The one, the only, the returning champion, Jordan Morris. How are you doing today, Jordan?
Hi, everybody. It's great to be back to defend my title that I didn't know I had.
Well, we had to come up with some moniker for people who not only agreed to do the show once, but then had the misfortune to agree to do it more than one time. So you're in the club now, pal. Wait,
do I need to like fight other repeat guests? Is that part of this to maintain the title?
It could be arranged, I suppose.
Yeah, that's going to be the $20 Patreon level, I think.
if we can ever have more than one guest where one recording doesn't seemingly have the echo of all three of the rest of us, we'll try to do that again. But for whatever reason, that's what tends to happen. So we like to have people one-on-one. That said, Jordan, I'm so happy you are back. You're coming off of last year. We talked about the very faraway future of Runaway. And now we're talking about a Jawsploitation movie from 1977. Had you ever seen Orca before we condemned you to watch it?
I didn't think I had seen it, but while I was watching it, certain scenes, like, I had some deja vu. So, yeah, maybe I did see this at a certain point or caught a little bit of it on cable. Because, yeah, there were, like, images from it that I, like, felt like I knew, you know? But the plot all seemed new to me. All the characters seemed new, but just like some stuff that happened seemed familiar. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I looked up clips of this for some reason. Maybe I'm just confusing it with Free Willy, which I saw as a kid. how many kids did that happen to in a video store, I wonder? She's like, hey, my kid loves these Free Willy movies. Here's one.
He seems to be attacking a village, or maybe he's just jumping over it and they're shocked.
Right.
nobody warned me about the whale miscarriages.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the kind of Willy you want to free in the middle of this movie. And yet it is something that absolutely happens. I can't say that I enjoy Orca, and yet there are moments that are so gonzo and so bonkers. I understand the appeal for some, and there's a small cult around this film.
I mean, consider me in the cult. I had a blast watching this movie. It is like, it's insane. I kind of felt like I knew what I was getting into. I'm like, okay, they're going to do a Jaws ripoff. It's 2 years after Jaws. And, you know, this will be the whatever, like Hammer horror version of Jaws, but they just sub in a whale. And it is that, like, right? But it's so much more. It really like amps up the like psychological torment. There are some insane visuals. The whale miscarriage that we mentioned is, you know, out in front. And yeah, I don't know. The whole thing has a very like almost cute homemade quality to it. Like things are janky in this very cute way. To where it does seem like a film school project or something instead of like a low budget movie. It's like, okay, well, how do we do a whale? We'll, I don't know, throw a fiberglass dome over a boat and paint it black and white. I don't know. It just like, it just seems like the whole community pitched in to make this whale movie. And I don't know. I kind of loved it.
Right. I'll make the costumes. My uncle has a barn.
Right.
We'll get an iceberg that we can suddenly tip sideways and catapult a man into an iceberg. Mm-hmm. All things you pretty much know are going to happen in a killer whale movie.
Oh, yeah.
Gina, when was the first time you caught sight of Orca?
I'm pretty sure I was a kid. My mother enjoyed this movie for reasons I wish I knew why she liked it.
I wish I knew too.
But I will say that obviously people understandably accuse us of ripping off Jaws. But then I would pose it that Jaws the Revenge ripped off a lot from Orca. Because because as somebody in a film review of Orca originally described it, basically this is Death Wish, but with a whale. And I think that what they were trying to do was, well, you know, sharks, they just work on instinct. Whales are smart.
Yeah.
So, the whale remembers this guy as the one who, you know, killed his old lady and his kid. and you know, they have a, you know, like at one point, I think my favorite scene in it, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I just love this scene so much, is when he is the orca is I guess that's the whale's name. His name's Orca. Let's just call him that. He's sort of gesturing for Richard Harris to follow him, like, come on.
Yeah, yes.
With his fins, using his fin to do using a little, his get over here.
Come on, follow me, dum-dum.
Like, he's making that, you know, come on, fight me gesture that, like, you know, drunk dudes will make in a bar.
You know who I am? I'm a killer whale. And I rule the ocean.
Let me get you outside. Just let me get you outside and you'll see.
When we get in the ocean, you're gonna know why they call me a killer. Among the many things this film has been compared to, and I thought this was a particularly apt description. It's John Wick. If John Wick was a killer whale. Sure.
And yeah. Does he go to like his killer whale exclusive like pod and like hand over some giant crabs to pay for his food and drink?
Right. He has some sort of special golden shell that he hands over to a beluga whale so that he can have restitution.
But yeah, I guess in that comparison, like the movie John Wick would follow around the like Russian gangster fail son, and you would see John Wick periodically in the background kicking ass.
Or you would just see John Wick pass by in the background waving over this way.
Yeah.
Over this way.
And then doing some leaps of joy when he manages to blow something up.
Right.
He's like, yeah.
I loved that every time the whale like got a win, would do little leaps.
He's like, wee!
I did it. I killed many.
I burned a village. Yay! Oh,
so funny.
The audacity of this movie to have that title treatment that really has balloon font. Mm-hmm. That when you see Jaws, that evokes like, oh, them some sharp teeth. And when you see Orca, you're like, is that like a Formica dealer? Is that what's going on there? Do they sell Pyrex? What? It seems too pleasant for what is essentially a killer whale chew you up movie.
Well, I think they don't want you to be afraid of the whale. Just don't kill a whale's old lady.
That is the wild thing about this, in my opinion, is if your goal is to kind of like get butts in seats by evoking Jaws, is the goal you have to make you hate the main character and love the whale? Because that's what it is. I don't particularly care for almost anyone in this motion picture.
Yeah.
But that whale's great.
Oh, yeah. Like, I didn't come away from this movie afraid I was going to get eaten by a whale.
No. That is definitely not a fear I have. You, Jordan?
Getting eaten by a whale?
Yeah.
No, I would never wrong a whale. And yes. If I did, it would be by accident and I would apologize.
Yeah, I would simply quietly climb into the whale's mouth.
Yeah.
And accept my fate just so you wouldn't have to kill 11 other people beforehand.
Right. Yes.
Although I will say that the characters in this movie like just refuse to stay away from the water. I think, I guess that is the challenge with a sea-based horror movie is like, just leave the water. It can't find you, but like insist on living, you know, in a house that is partially over the water and held up by beams that the orca can smash. It is very like people's insistence on staying in this particular part of the ocean is pretty wild.
And exactly. Yeah. We said the same thing about Jaws of Revenge, where like, despite him having about 3 to 4 potentially near fatal encounters with a shark, that, you know, Chief Brody's oldest son was working as an oceanologist and living in the Bahamas.
And keeps having close encounters with that shark. He's like, I got to go back down or I'll never do it. Perhaps never do it. Yes,
that's okay. Just don't.
Pick a desk job to do near the ocean. You don't have to go in it. That's okay. But yes, people's faith in wood when John Whale, as I'm going to start calling him, constantly busts through shit wood like a coffin flop, you know, pre-show. He fucks up things made of wood. And yet the Captain Nolan is like, I paid for this apartment over the sea. It's like, it's held up by wood. You've seen this. This whale fuck up wood now for 35 minutes. Perhaps trusting wood is out.
This whale knows how to identify gas lines.
Yes. And knows not only do you need to start spilling fuel, you need to light it somehow. If you keep banging on shit, eventually it'll light on fire. And then it does, and he's like, whee!
Well, you know, he left his souvenir Harley Davidson Bic lighter at home, so he had to make do. Sure.
I think as we learn in the, like, info dump at the beginning, where our other main character is giving a orca whale lecture, that they operate on a level that humans can't even comprehend. Like, they don't even need language. They're like,
right.
I love how much she's like juicing up orcas in that in that speech to let you know.
Yeah, like they're super smart and they remember.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they love revenge. They're capable of revenge.
She has a taste for vengeance.
She makes it very clear that whales are capable of vengeance to
set us Orca up. Orca 101 is super playful, mate for life, very enjoyable. The alpha of the ocean. Also, do not fuck with these whales.
If you cross them, kiss your ass goodbye.
Yeah. And then Captain Nolan has been a fisherman for 16 years. And when he's out looking for a shark to capture, and basically this great white shark gets murked, posterized NBA style by a great white, he's like, whoa, what's that? What is that? You work in Ocean. Like, Ocean is his job, and he doesn't know what a fucking orca is. I knew what an orca was, and I had just seen pictures of Shamu existing.
Yeah, and of course, his, you know, his response to this whale, you know, essentially saving his crewman's life is, well, I think I'm gonna capture that instead.
Yeah, no. Fuck those sharks. I gotta get me one of them whales. That seems super simple. And everyone tells him, no, it's not. This is a bad idea. And he's like, I heard idea. And I'm going to go with that. Sure. So before we get into the plot too much, I do want to do a little bit of setup because this follows in the footsteps of another movie that we have covered, Gina, not Jaws, but 1976's King Kong remake.
Yes.
This is a Dino De Laurentiis movie. And so what explains this movie's existence beyond Gimme Jaws but Different is Dino looked at the returns for King Kong in 76. Then he looked at Jaws and said, I need to make him in one of those. So my apologies to Italy. My apologies to all Italians. It's Mario. The Mario movie pretty much made this legal, so I'm just going to go ahead with it. Now, King Kong made money off of its $24 million budget, and he had to deal with Paramount, and they're like, listen, maybe don't think so big as King Kong. Think a little bit closer. So he's like racking his brain. He obviously sees Orca as an opportunity to get, you know, a big disaster-ish movie, but on a smaller scale. It can't be that hard to make a fish attack movie on the water. That's not problematic at all. He didn't ask Steven Spielberg about it or anything. So he's like, fuck it. Like, let's do this. I don't know why he thought Orca would also be on McDonald's cups the way that King Kong was, but he was pretty fucking convinced.
Yeah, the kids love whale miscarriages.
Everything about this movie says bring the family. Mm. So he's like, all right, we can scale this down. So what's like a great white shark, but isn't, and someone happens upon killer whale? Well, that sounds dangerous. Killer whales are so fucking tough, they manhandle great white sharks. Perfect. We'll put that into the movie. And so here we are, just mere months later, they're like, get this into theaters. So we introduce the first person in the movie, Captain Nolan, played by Richard Harris on a lot of gin. And he doesn't own a complete sweater for the entirety of this film.
Yeah, I feel like he like just went on a bender on like a fishing boat for like a week, you know, the whole method acting thing. Right. And then just grab some clothes from like a pile of rags. I'll take these.
A handsome man, but you could tell that he stinks.
Oh God, yes, God, yeah. I mean that the breath could strip wallpaper off a wall.
Yeah, those partial sweaters have not been washed in a long time.
No, at one point he shows up in an outfit so filthy. My note was: is he the rhythm guitarist for Dexy's Midnight Runners? Because he looks like an urchin everywhere, like a sea urchin.
Yeah, I think the funniest bit of trivia in the making of Orca is that while in the middle of filming, he got wind of a tabloid story about his wife being seen out with another man and was planning to leave the set to, quote, kill them.
Wow. Did he learn nothing from the script of Orca?
Revenge
makes animals of us all.
Sure. Yeah. I don't think learn something and orca go together. It's not really a learning opportunity based on every character in the film. Here's one thing I did learn, however, and that is it doesn't matter how big your bucket of bloody fish guts is. people will still want to kiss Bo Derek when she's sloshing it off the side of a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that everyone knows, she is barely 19 in this movie. And I then started to look up, well, wait a second. She's married. When did this happen? Don't do that. It's full of terrible information you do not want to know about Bo Derek. I don't know how she survived it. I guess I'm into Ghost Can't Do It now, because her resume reads like a crime.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, my whole time watching her, I was like, has she been kidnapped and put on this ship? Like, is she doing an internship?
Yeah.
What is she doing here?
She getting college credit? Why is she on this ship? There's no way Paul, the guy that she's stripping, can be that good at the sex that you're willing to spend all day throwing chopped up fish guts off the side of a boat to somehow capture a great white shark. How? I don't know. It's one of these amazing plans we've often come across, Gina, where someone decides in a movie, I need a ... money.
Exactly.
I don't know how he plans to get a great white shark, a creature that has never lived in captivity. And he's like, what we just do is shoot it, haul it up on this boat, and
something. Yeah.
We're gonna sell it to the circus.
Sharks literally cannot sleep because they have to keep swimming. How the fuck are you going to keep this shark alive? He has no plans and no one has given him any advice. He is just a fucking train wreck. This is the worst plan we've ever covered. And that includes the families that burned Freddy Krueger alive.
Yeah, he's an experienced fisherman, but I am pretty sure he's only ever caught hermit crabs.
He's got another plan in this movie, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but sure, we're talking about this man and his plan incapacity.
Mm-hmm.
He, when the whale is chasing him, he wants to get the whale off his back. So he makes a dummy of himself that dresses it in his clothes and puts it near the dock and just hangs around with a gun waiting to shoot it. It is so Wile E. Coyote.
I was thinking it was like a Bugs Bunny sketch where, like, right, you know, yeah, he just like, you know, puts like a scarecrow with like his hat on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, you've been told over and over again, this killer whale knows what you look like. And he's like, I don't know, flour sack? I look like a flour sack, right? And then when he's called on it by an actual orca professor and she says, this isn't going to work, bringing a gun won't help you. And he's like, well, actually what I was going to do was say, I apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to just apologize to this way? Why do you need a gun for that? Why do you need a dummy for that? Just start apologizing to this fucking whale already.
Yeah, I'm just picturing an apology to a whale. Like, I am so sorry. I'm very sorry.
I was trying to kill you, not your wife. I was shooting at you. And I was
listen, man, I didn't know she was knocked up. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, right?
I think this will go a little bit better if I pull out a ukulele. Strum, 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 strum. I'm sorry, killer whale. Do you have a notes app? Can I share this with you? Are you on Bluetooth? How can I apologize to you properly?
If you were offended by the murder of your wife and child, I am heartily sorry.
Sure. I have a lot of growing and learning to do.
Oh, my God. So, Nolan really deserves to die, but this great white gets murked by a bull orca in a way that's so explosive. You would think Muppets were involved in some way, shape, or form. And if you think, like, when that great white just gets body slammed, like in the WWE, mm-hmm, like thrown off the cage into the Spanish announcer's desk. If you think that is Gonzo, just you wait. Because this movie has all sorts of ways for this whale to bounce you from here to the Bahamas before you know it.
Yep.
Now, as much as I found the shark from Jaws 4 roaring ludicrous, the great white complaining like a seagull who unsuccessfully tried to steal your sandwich is far, far worse.
Yeah, and or like when the when the wife dies, it's like the orca is practically like, no, you son of a bitch.
And even if they had pulled back on that, it's so heavily implied that's what the whale is saying that the whale might as well just say it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like that would be fine with the logic of this movie. Like, the whale can just start talking. It's okay. It's an insane movie. Like, make it talk. Give it... who would do the voice? Sean Connery at this point, right? 1977?
Liam Neeson giving the standard, I have a certain set of aquatic skills.
That would be great. That would be great. Yeah. I have a certain set of gills. I know whales don't have gills, but come on. Just go with me.
It has to work somehow. An orca, Liam Neeson, two things I know have giant penises. I think it all works.
Sure.
Speaking of which, we then meet Dr. Bedford, played by Charlotte Rampling, in a series of very complicated hairdos. She has incredible eyes. She's playing the smartest character in the movie, surrounded by complete fucking idiots.
And of course, she still falls in love with him.
Yeah. Does she?
Yeah.
Or is she, because do they ever actually sleep together? In my mind, I had remembered them like falling into bed with one another. And I was like, oh, this is weird. Like no one who had any respect for their subject matter of killer whales would ever want to spend more than 5 minutes with fucking Richard Harris in this movie.
Yeah, there's that part at the end where she's in bed and she's like, let me keep you warm or something right. like that. And it's kind of implied that maybe she's trying to sleep with him. But yeah, there's no logical reason for her to hang around in this movie. It is wild. Every time she like got on the boat with them and at the end when they're going off on the like death march and she's like in voiceover is saying like, I went on the boat to study the whales. I'm like, why? Yeah. Why? Like, this guy is an insane lunatic. He's only weird and aggressive to you. Keeping her in the movie is just like they have to do such wild gymnastics. Although they don't even really explain it. It's just like, yeah, she's hanging around them and she goes with them everywhere. I would have liked some kind of explanation for what she's doing there.
I mean, as close as we get it is at one point during that end half an hour journey, she's like, basically, I know that Nolan's going to get himself killed and this whale is going to kill him. But I hope that I can somehow mediate between the two. I'm like,
yeah.
How?
So I'll just go along with him and support him. And then at the very last minute, maybe I'll try and convince him to not kill the whale. Although she like throws him a gun at one point, you know?
Yes.
So
which like, he kind of doesn't catch. It's very close to not catching.
Yeah.
I just picture her like trying to talk to the whale. And it's like that scene in Finding Nemo.
Hey, you don't eat Richard Harris. That's what
I'm saying. Exactly. Exactly.
This makes sense. We've made it very clear. This is not a show about evaluating people's looks, but it must be noted that Dr. Bedford's class of students look like they live too close to a nuclear meltdown. There's some ragged 70s looks in this film. There's a couple of people, they just show watching her orca presentation and you're like, I'd like to make them look a little bit better. Can you back the camera up a little bit? And the operator is like, how do you feel about Cleveland? That's I was like, they're the only like mistakes in this. They're the only people who seem like a little too real for a movie. And so Dr. Bedford has this whole big spiel about how orcas are beyond language. They don't really need to talk to one another, and yet every squeal they have contains so much information in it. And she's always like, what are they saying? What are they saying about me behind my back? I need to know! Needless to say, Bedford in that voiceover comes literally out of nowhere, and it won't be the last time. This movie just chooses like four or five times where Dr. Bedford just gives voiceover and you're trapped inside the movie with it. You're like, is it her story? Is it his story? Is it the whale story? I'd much rather just hang out with that whale because that whale's cool.
I wonder like how much of this was like edited or reshot or cut out. It definitely seems like a movie that was really like chopped up because of this stuff that just feels like it doesn't make that much sense.
Right.
Yeah, I was gonna say the voiceover seemed like a last minute decision.
Yeah, voiceover's doing a lot of work here.
We're given a lot of transitional information, like Nolan has dropped his ruse, his plan to capture a great white and now go after killer whales. And again, she shows up and tells him, "This is fucking stupid. This whale is, they are not to be fucked with." If like, there's no way you're going to capture them and be able to transport them to an aquarium. And he's like, thanks for the advice. Two middle fingers. Is the bar open?
It's like, she's like, listen, man, not many people know this, but a whale did JFK.
Listen, there's one person on Earth who knows what happened to Princess Kate, and it's a killer whale.
You can only decode their beautiful song.
So, yeah, Nolan, his very, very smart plan goes very, very badly almost immediately. Like, it's just below Saddam Hussein is hiding weapons of mass destruction level of bad, but just barely.
Well, you've got you have Mrs. Whale, let's call her. She's you know, they hit her with the harpoon a couple times, and she kind of deliberately swims into the fans of the engine, which is not, I don't quite understand why she did that, but she's already grievously injured from that by the time they try to lift her up onto the boat.
Which, again, how does this help your fucking cause? You have this now massively scarred and injured whale you've hauled up by the tail onto your fucking ship. And as soon as the whale is up there for 5 seconds, it's like, I'd like you to meet somebody, my fetus, plop on the deck, of which everyone is horrified. And then Nolan's like, let me get a hose. I'm going to take care of this.
God, yeah. The movie is hilariously grim. I mean, this part in particular, this part is like so shocking, but like the movie's, I at one point just started to laugh at how grim it was. Like, you know, there's later on we see the whales like having a little funeral for this whale. And then we have Richard Harris's backstory where his wife and kid were killed by a drunk driver in a very similar scenario.
I guess somebody hosed his kid off the street or something.
Maybe.
My favorite shot is when it's like a close up of the whale's eye, and I think it's just like water pooling there.
Right.
But it does actually look like he's got like a single tear. Like,
the whale crying is very funny. Yeah, I don't know. At some point, I'm just like, okay, like this is tragedy camp, you know? Like,
yeah,
this
exactly, just exactly.
High camp, but everything's tragic. And yeah, I don't know. I really like start to yuck it up.
You're like, oh my God, and laughing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It seems too outrageous for someone to have written this down and said, this'll work, and push the paper across to Dino De Laurentiis, and he's like, I can't read this. Yeah. I believe everything. And just throw money at it. It is bizarre to the point where no one is just looking at this and going, we have to pick a lane. And the lane they chose is, it's like 10 different movies, but they're all fucking ridiculous.
Right.
And part of that is because you're now spending equal time with humans and whales in the first 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. There's just long sequences in which you're just watching real and fake whales frolic, and then get used to that footage. Cause you will see that killer whale from marine land over and over and over again. And they are trying everything they can to hide the fact that that whale is in a sealed tank nowhere near the ocean. But
yeah. And also it does seem like, you know, our orca, the main character orca, is a lot of different orcas that they have stock footage of.
Yes.
His coloring and markings change pretty regularly.
Yes.
But yeah, I think the jank of this movie is something that I really liked. I liked the way in which it was janky.
Yeah. So, you know, when watching this film, you basically spend like the rest of the 60 plus minutes hoping that Nolan is killed slowly in some kind of aquatic Saw scenario. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, it actually delivers one of the more outrageous aquatic deaths I've ever seen. So after John Whale attacks Nolan's ship on the way home, John's they discover
slick,
that
A, whales are kind of slick. I don't know.
He discovers that the female is still alive. Like, what kind of fucking fisherman is this guy? Ocean is his job, and he doesn't know if this creature that he's hauled onto his fucking boat is alive or dead.
Yeah, you would think that would be pretty hard you think that would be pretty easy to tell with a whale.
Right. You would think you would see her breathing or emanating some kind of sound, but she's playing possum? I don't honestly know. But the character who really discovers this is Keenan Wynn. And you're saying, but Patrick, if Keenan Wynn was in this movie, you would have mentioned it up until now. Honest to God, Keenan Wynn has 5 fucking lines. It's like he's getting his SAG card off of this. It's crazy how little Keenan Wynn factors into the plot of this major motion picture.
Well, you know, he's also the first one that John Whale takes out.
Yes. And as Gina just alluded to, he's set up for real failure here as Nolan's like, get out on that boom, way out over the ocean, cut that whale down, and then that will solve all of our problems. They do that, and Nolan's like, are you all right? And Keenan Wynn is about to say his 6th line when, of course, John Whale leaps out of the fucking ocean and grabs what Gina, I'm sure you were happy to notice, was a very obvious dummy.
Oh, yeah.
And pulls it back into the water.
Yes, yes.
And as much sort of bloody water as you get to see, I'm not entirely sure that John Whale is actually eating these people or just mauling them and going, fuck you, and swimming away.
Yeah, I think so, because I don't believe whales eat people.
Right. He is manhandling them with his mouth. So it's a lot of mauling, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, just probably just the act of getting, you know, kind of held by an orca's, you know, jaws is probably going to, you know, you're not coming out of that.
No. Keenan Wynn is very much dead. RIPD, glad to have known you. So, just to make sure the audience gets it, John Whale captures Nolan's image in his eyeball, like he's a whale iPhone, and then swims away, pushing his dying mate. And cue the love theme from Orca as we watch 2 fake whales push one another for a good 5 minutes.
I would love to see a making of documentary about this movie. Like, what are the fake whales? I just assumed they were kind of plaster covers for, you know, little motorboats. But yeah, I don't know. There's like, they really tried. It's not like they just built one whale and called it a day. They like
seem
to have a bunch of different whales for different shots. I don't know. I appreciated it.
They're putting in the time. This is a lot easier than how De Laurentiis had sold King Kong, where he's like, this giant robot monkey is going to walk on his own and destroy Met Stadium. And then when they got there, it could kind of roar and hold an arm up. There's like nothing to that mechanical monkey. Here, at least, you know, John Whale can rear up. He can swim. You can see that fin. It works yeah. about as well as a fake whale can.
And I guess it has this on Jaws in that, like, you know, it's about a group of whales and, you know, there's multiple different fake ones. So, you know, they had that going on.
Yeah. And so John Whale knows exactly what to do. He's going to make sure that everyone in town knows that Nolan fucked up, pushes his dead mate onto the shore right outside of town. Like, does the sheriff want to do anything about this? You want
to? I'd like to file a report, please.
I'd like to see if Aquatic CSI would like any of this evidence, please. And Nolan sees this and goes, oh, shoot. That's about as big a response as you get out of him. He's just like in between drinking beers throughout a good portion of this movie. And of course, Dr. Bedford is there reading to the corpse of this whale that occasionally breathes. We haven't seen a corpse breathe like this in a little bit.
No.
I'm thinking Graduation Day is the last time we saw a corpse breathe this much. And this isn't a real corpse. This is completely fake. You can absolutely control that fake whale's breathing. And yet. And so Nolan does what I think anyone would try to do in this situation, and that is flirt with Charlotte Rampling in the hopes that will fix everything.
So, you're a whale expert. do you know I killed a whale?
You know, I know a whale. I
killed a whale and her unborn child.
I knew a whale. Anyways, nice hairdo. And what Nolan, a professional fisherman, doesn't know about sea life could fill every volume of an encyclopedia. It is stunning what he does not know about his job.
I feel like every plot problem of this movie, I mean, not every plot problem, a lot of plot problems of this movie are fixed if you just have him introduced by saying, like, oh yeah, I used to be a mechanic. I've been a fisherman for 1 week. And then he's just new. He just doesn't know. And he's trying his best. And he's you know, giving some stuff a shot.
At another point, we're told he's been fishing for 16 years under the tutelage of Keenan Wynn. So is Keenan Wynn to blame for how fucking dumb Nolan is? Or he could have been teaching him everything about the sea. And Nolan's like, I don't know, waves? How does this work?
You know, I mean, I think, you know, they get up at, you know, 5 a.m. to fish. He's drunk by 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for us. Another expert is introduced into the movie at this point. Meet Umlak. He is an indigenous professor here to tell Nolan he's screwed. And he takes it really well.
And he even says, he even just does the job of being like the audience surrogate and being like, yeah, maybe just don't go in this water anymore.
Yeah, I would suggest a landlocked state somewhere for you.
Check out Iowa.
Just go away. Later in the movie, he's like, you know what? My ancestors had a solution for something like this. They would take a whale skin and fill it with bird kidneys and livers, pee on it, and throw it in the ocean. And you're like, are you fucking with him? Because I like that you're fucking with him, because how would that help? Honestly, how would that help? And where am I going to find bird livers right now here, you can barely get gas in this town. Bedford tells him straight to his face, like, he saw you on the deck of that boat. And my question is, how the fuck does she know that? She wasn't there.
This is a case where just like the characters have been watching the movie.
Yes. I mean, we did this last week, Gina, with Jaws 4, where Mrs. Brody just starts having visions of shit she was not around for.
Yeah. Like I said, I think that Jaws Revenge lifted a lot from this.
I think so, too. I did not know that when I ordered this month of Aquatic Attack April.
Everybody's just recycling the same plot.
These two movies would kind of be riffs on one another. I will say, pound for pound, this movie has more shots of Charlotte Rampling dressed like she's a kind of core member of G.I. Joe. She's wearing a lot of green in this movie, including one jumpsuit, which I'm not mad at, but honestly, does not scream college professor.
She's got a little bit of like, you know, hanging out the ski chalet.
Yes.
And it's like, you don't really know how whale experts dress, do you?
If she was an expert in avalanches in a movie called Avalanche, I would absolutely believe it. She just seems to have authority this way. But I don't think the movie is helping her here, because she constantly delivers relevant information everyone would benefit from listening to. And then the camera cuts over to Richard Harris and he's like, la, 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 with gin bottles stuck in his ears. We also get a scene in which when Keenan Wynn's body, and I don't know what they laid to rest, like his head and a random arm they found. He is having this service that no one but Nolan and Paul, his other helper, are in attendance for. And Nolan straight up asks this priest, like, hey, just between you and me, would I go to hell for murdering a whale? And the priest is like, yeah, kind of. You done fucked up. Everyone in town
knows that. You killed that lady and you killed her baby, man. There's no coming back from that.
Yeah, everybody is very pro-whale in this.
They're just shooting him. Everybody in this town just shooting him hate daggers out of their eyes. And it's before the whale shows up and just blows up the entire fucking town.
Yeah, there's a guy whose like job is specifically to like do not fuck with John Whale. It's a character who's never named, but I know from the credits is called Al Swain. And Al Swain is like, do not fuck with this whale. My suggestion to you is to live in a landlocked state.
I was going
to
say, get onto dry land as quickly there, as possible, and do not look back.
Walk along the beach to the next fucking town.
I mean,
we don't need your shit here.
Is this movie just the greatest critique of like toxic white men? Sorry to be so woke, but sorry that I'm spreading my woke mind virus, but also like, yeah, everybody who's not a white guy in this movie has pretty great common sense and would survive. You know, were it not for this dude.
And at least local fisherman is giving it to him straight. Like, you need to get out of town. This whale's already like scaring away all the fish we need to catch to make money. So you go away. And Nolan's like, I'm paid up for a month. It's kind of like a Three's Company situation, right? Only there's two dudes and I'm the Chrissy. And I have no desire. I just want to drink all day. And immediately John Whale comes into the port and starts murking boats.
And I guess like that's, you know, this is the best explanation for like why is any of this happening, right? Like, why, why do these people continue this crusade? I guess there's an element of like, oh, this is kind of a noble, like, you know, a noble try for them to like help the town, because I guess the whale will just go fucking nuts on the town or whatever. Yeah. So I guess that to me is like a pretty good explanation for like, oh, why do they just keep doing this?
Right. I just feel like it's sort of like, you know, if you go on a deer hunting trip with your friends and, you know, you shoot a deer, you don't kill it right away. And the deer, you know, spontaneously miscarriages a fawn. And
it
then
happens. It happens.
The fawn's dad, you know, just runs up and guts one of your friends with its antlers. Are you going to continue that hunting trip?
You double down. You get more people.
we'll find out soon when Bambi comes out in the Pooniverse.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, right.
This is relevant now. Will not be so relevant whenever this episode comes out next month.
About a month from now, so hopefully people will forget about any idea of a Pooniverse.
Yeah, hopefully these people are like, I've never heard of this again, and start Googling Pooniverse. Like, it just disappears from Earth. I'd be fine with that if it was, but also, Jeannie, you need to get your bag, because that should be the plot of the Bambi movie, when you know it's just going to be Bambi spearing motherfuckers and women taking off their
so
tops.
You think it should be retelling Orca but with deer?
Yes, I think it should be like Die Hard, where they're all trapped in a very closed off forest with Bambi, and at one point he kills somebody and then scrawls on their shirt with his bloody antler, "Ho, ho, ho, now I have a machine gun." That's a fucking movie.
Are we still before Bo Derek gets her leg chomped off? Because that part's hilarious, yes, too.
Yeah, we're still before that. Okay. Because we're in the buildup to it.
Right,
now,
right, okay.
Everyone in town but Nolan had their boat sunk by this fucking whale. And they're like, don't you find that suspicious that everyone else's boat got sank but yours? Because the whale wants you to go out on the water. And Nolan's like, well, again, I don't have to go out on the water. And then Charlotte Rampling is like, well, at a certain point, you're going to have to leave here. It's the only way off. Maybe you should educate yourself about whales. Here's a book. And Nolan's like, your life's work is stupid and you're stupid. Would you like to sleep together? He has no game.
No.
That is the wildest logic leap in the movie, where people are just like, yeah, he wants you to go out into the open sea. Like, how do they know that? At least at some point we see the whale gesturing with his fin to like, yes, give us some.
The movie eventually confirms it, that right, that is exactly what this whale wants. But when they first introduce it, it seems crazy.
That's the funniest thing to me. They said, oh, come on.
Get over here, you old so-and-so. Get out here into the open sea so I can kill you.
He might as well have been hitting a piece of metal with his tail and spelling out something in Morse code.
Right. Again, the movie's crazy enough. Just do that. We're fine with it.
What would be fun is if they actually weighed them in Vegas, like they're eventually going to have a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
6,000 pounds, John Whale. 140 pounds, a human scarecrow. No, Captain Nolan.
A man who only eats gin.
A man who cannot put on a ski cap properly. He does not have a complete set of any of his clothes.
25% of his body weight is shredded sweaters.
And so, yeah, the local fish boss is like, hey, guess what? We're prioritizing fixing your boat so you can get your Irish ass out of here. You got a one-way ticket to John Whale's mouth. Bye-bye. And he's like, I don't really feel the need to do that at all. And so, yeah, Nolan goes out and makes a scarecrow of himself.
It's so wacky. It's just the wackiest possible solution. He's like, I thought this would be funny. I don't know if it'll work.
Crazier things have happened. And then the whale surfaces. This is out by some sort of jetty where there's a red warning light. And so John Whale surfaces and looks at Nolan, and the music goes, bah, bah, da, bah, da, bah. There's a full-on Beatrix Kiddo moment in this fucking movie with a whale.
Oh, you know Tarantino loves this movie.
You know, he thinks this is better than Jaws.
I'm going to say he absolutely would have it, you know, try to argue that this movie is better than Jaws.
Right. Because in Jaws, you don't care about what that shark thinks, but you love what this whale does. Mm. And it's kind of like, yeah, but also the rest of the movie. I mean, I'll grant you that one part is interesting, but also the lead character puts up a scarecrow to fool a fish he doesn't believe knows who he is.
I know Tarantino says he's roping it in after the next movie, but I think he should just make a killer manatee movie that is all references to this movie.
Yeah. But like a manatee that also comes out of the water and like robs a local casino or fucks up a local mob boss, something along those lines. this is when he proposes, then you can just get a whale skin, stuff it with bird livers, pee on it, and throw it into the ocean. Problem solved. And I'm like, thank you. I think you're fucking with me. It sounds like you're fucking with me, and I'm actually okay with it because more people need to fuck with Nolan. He is rock stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to give him any sort of advice on you know, catching a whale or getting a whale off his off his back, and he would absolutely believe it. You know, I understand that if you throw a whale a bologna sandwich, that makes you even for accidentally murdering his wife.
Yeah. Into the ocean.
Bologna.
If you can fry that bologna, great. Mm. He wants just deli mustard. None of that Grey Poupon shit. You just got to keep it simple. So most people do not bring a gun to tell somebody they're sorry, but Nolan doesn't.
I feel like that is exactly that Richard Harris just took that out of a page from his own life story.
Harris brought his own gun to set.
He's like, why does he, the gun is not in the script. And like, you can't tell him to, you can't take it away from him. He read about his wife.
It's in his contract.
We've sunk too much money into this movie. Just let him do it.
He thinks bookies are after him. He won't do the scene unless he can have his gun with him. Also,
he owns 50 large to MGM.
good time to mention, this movie is rated PG. It's like, and it is so PG. Kids can go see this movie in 1977. I love it.
Kids can see a guy awkwardly fall in bed and want to fuck Bo Derek when she has a cast on her leg. And then you have to explain that to them. And also, I mean, Nolan has been living in this house with these two. And at one point, barges right fucking in. It's like, knock, asshole. He's living in a bedroom with Bo Derek. What do you think's happening in there? So this is when John Whale decides, I know how gasoline works. He busts a bunch of pipes.
He knows where the gas lines are. He read a map for the gas lines. And he found which ones are the gas lines.
Maybe he thought those were wood too. And he just loves to bust shit wood. But the plan works because he knocks over a lamp. Everything catches on fire. Everyone's like, that fucking whale. And then a giant gas tank on the hill blows the fuck up.
Also, I think if we're talking about just this whale's whale powers, is this the scene mm-hmm. too where it does like a sonic cry and it shatters her wine glass?
Right.
This whale can do fucking whatever. I love it.
The whale's an X man.
Yeah. It's like they really sat down. They really sat down and just are like, okay, what's everything a whale can do? It has to happen in this movie. The whale has to mm-hmm. use everything, you know, at its disposal.
But the best thing about that glass before it breaks is that Bo Derek pours, and it's a full, you know, red wine glass, and she pours brandy in it a good 3/4 mm-hmm. of the way to the top. Like, holy shit, you getting drunk tonight. And the only thing that stops her is a fucking whale attack on a house. And yeah. Like, everyone seems to have, to varying degrees, an understanding of John Whale's motivation. And they're just like, if you could just feed yourself to this whale, we could get on with life.
I do love how the whole town is just clued into what's going on. You know, it's that small town gossip. Everybody knows when, you know, somebody gets married. Everybody knows when a whale is trying to kill you.
Yeah, but also the whale is communicating a lot of this stuff. When he blows up that fucking gas reserve, he leaps into the air like, ha, burn, bitch, burn. He's just pushing it in everyone's faces by splashing about in front of his handiwork. And again, no court could convict him. Whales are above the law.
I feel like he is sort of daring one of the townspeople to just sneak on Nolan's boat in the middle of the night, knock him over the head, and throw him in the water. There, here he is. Yeah. Come get him.
Just have Adam put him on a fucking raft.
Stop blowing up our town. Thank you.
Yeah, and they should. That's absolutely what they should do.
They're very justified in that.
They should put him in a barrel and shove him over mm-hmm. the side of his boat.
Tie him to a bed like they do the camp owner in Meatballs, put him on a raft and shove him out into the fucking ocean. And when he wakes up, he's in that whale's mouth.
Cover him with some fish sticks just for good measure.
Yeah, just like tie a bell to him. I'm sure it'll all work out. Just get him out onto the fucking ocean and be rid of this guy already. Because he's not only fucking up your only fuel source in town, he doesn't care about houses. Fuck your house. He just mows half that house down. And Bo Derek, because she's already got one busted leg, cannot get out. She's just pulled all the way to the bank. They try to pull her up using a net so fucking slowly, so slowly, so stupidly. And at a certain point, the whale's like, listen, you're not who I want, but I'm going to send a message. And that message is hobble.
You don't need this, do you?
He just chops off the leg just above the cast.
What's where the good meat is, if you're a whale? I mean, I think we're debating whether or not the whales are eating people when they're chopping them. I think there are certain cuts of the human that are the most tender. So
true.
Yeah. I mean, the calf. That's worth this.
It's a precision cut that he goes mm-hmm. for, because the leg cast is really high on her thigh. And yet he gets a very clean shot out of it. And then you see him swimming away with it in his mouth.
Yeah, she does not die, right? She like that's like is that the last we see of her?
That's the last we see of her. She's mentioned one other time when Nolan drunkenly says that he's responsible for a young girl's maiming. So I'm assuming that's who he's talking about.
Were they thinking of doing a sequel where she comes back with a peg leg?
That would be amazing.
That would have been great. I mean, that's the unmade Orca sequel where she's just gone full pirate and wants to get revenge for her leg.
Here's the thing, Jordan. A movie did this, and we covered it on the show.
Oh my gosh.
It's called Shark Night.
Okay.
A guy gets his arm bitten off by a shark. Later in the movie, he is still alive. He wanders out into the water where he knows multiple sharks are with like a giant harpoon. And he's like, come and get me. And you're like, what? What? You're trying to get revenge on multiple sharks in your condition? Later on, he just falls off a jet ski to sacrifice himself.
Sounds familiar. That's how he dies. This movie.
I thought it was going to be a lot of fun, and it is not.
Yeah, it's interminable.
It's a movie where a bunch of kids constantly get in the water for no particular reason. It's going to be Shark Night, and they're all going to die by sharks. And you think, this is going to be fun, and it just proves over and over and over again, you want to have fun? No. It was released in 3D, and it's not fucking fun, Jordan. 3D!
The most fun amount of Ds.
2D, everyone gets it. 4D, too much. If you want to add an X to it, you can't eat popcorn because it'll just spill everywhere. And that's everywhere. So we were rounding the bases here because the next morning, Nolan, Paul, Dr. Bedford, I keep forgetting her name, and Umlak, and then Robert Carradine for some fucking reason.
Yeah, was he there the whole time, or did he just like?
I don't know. I was gonna ask you.
Did he just guys, you need more dead meat?
I think they just needed more people to chomp. You want a bigger body count, so yeah, it seems like they just threw a couple of additional characters on the boat.
Yeah, and like Dino De Laurentiis is like, did we order a Robert Carradine? And they're like, yeah, but we're not going to use him. Well, put him on that boat and have him get chomped because I'm already paying for him. So yeah, they set sail for Deathsville on the sea. Mm-hmm. And they pass by the rest of the town who managed not to give him double birds. How is this
everybody
possible?
Everybody should just be like holding up, like I said, both guns blazing while he's on his way out.
Don't let the tides hit you on the ass on the way out of town. Like, never in my life have I wanted the MSD3K and the crowd goes wild. More than in this sequence. Richard Harris is like, I'm not even giving you the dignity
He's just scowling. Like, I don't know, you guys are mad at me. I didn't do it. I didn't blow up your stupid town.
You seem mad. I don't know why you're mad at me. I did nothing wrong. Captain Nolan, innocent in my book. And the ukulele is implied throughout all
this. Oh, yeah, of course.
And then they get out in the middle of the ocean and they aren't there for 5 fucking minutes. And Richard Harris brings out a pack of TNT and just lights that bitch. No fucking, what is the dynamite plan? He doesn't even know where this whale is. And he's just like, maybe I wake it up from slumber. Does he know how dynamite work? Because I know he doesn't know how fucking whales work. What is the point of this?
I don't think he knows how anything works except maybe a bottle.
So if he could blow the shark up with when you put a rag in the top of one and you light it on fire and maybe throw one of those at a whale.
I am realizing as we're talking, this is basically a Looney Tunes movie.
The only thing that doesn't happen is someone leaves that ship in just a trail of smoke and an outline of their body inside the hull. Yeah.
No one paints a tunnel on the side of the iceberg for the whale to go in.
But if John Whale had ever so occasionally talked in a French accent and tried, to woo Charlotte Rampling, right, I would watch that movie. I would watch that movie.
Yeah. I mean, orcas, they were the original Looney Tunes. That's a cut part of her lecture that we didn't hear.
And so Charlotte Rampling manages to throw the dynamite overboard, which somehow she's like, don't do that. And he does it anyways. She's like, fuck. And she throws it over. And then Robert Carradine's like, did you guys need me for anything? Chomp. Dead. Instantly.
Yeah, he's just like hanging over the side of the boat like nothing could happen to me here.
I think I'm in the safest spot, dead. Just
right just, here within jumping distance.
Just an Irish Spring commercial for some reason in the middle of this whale attack. He's like, I don't know. Get a full shot of me. I don't know if I'll ever be on camera again. Dunzo. That's a picture wrap for Robert Carradine. Then a little bit later, Paul gets cut in half by John Whale when he's just trying to put a life raft into the water. This is when people start going crazy in the movie. And he's like, we've gone too far. We're too far north. We're running into icebergs. We just need to get in this life raft, everybody. It's like, that's a more vulnerable boat. And then to prove my point, the fucking whale jumps through it and kills his ass.
I think at some point, Charlotte Rampling does say something to the effect of like, he lured you out here to drive you insane. And like, yeah, that is giving so much credit to the orca, like for this plan, but it does seem to be true. People's decision-making is getting worse. He's getting crazier. Yeah. So I do think, yeah, that is the movie's like little way of explaining why everyone is just behaving so insanely. They just have whale chase madness.
If only this movie had the courage to have Robert Carradine live long enough to look at someone chopped in half and going, the fuck is going on here? And then get chomped himself. But again, it's PG, so you can't say fuck that many times. Right. This is when the whale waves at them like, come on.
This is a kid.
Follow me into my trap.
This is essentially a kid's movie. You can't have, someone saying fuck.
And so they follow him into a trap. Paul gets killed. They run into an iceberg. And then the whale pushes a different iceberg into another part of the boat, essentially capsizing it. Not before Umlak gets crushed by falling ice for reasons.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he's just like, oh, ice is falling.
I better walk in that direction.
I gotta see this.
Hold on. I got a Polaroid here. Wait a second. Hold on. Cheese crushed to death. Just like, he was a smart character up until the point he absolutely isn't. Right. So if they all have ice madness,
It's too cold. I'm insane.
It's too cold.
I went insane because there's too much ice.
I keep driving in a direction. We're running out of gas. We've lost our one life raft. Look up at the ice falling on you. Dead dunzo. So Bedford and Nolan make their way onto an ice floe. And Richard Harris just starts shooting every time the whale breaches through the ice to no effect.
Yeah, he's like shooting at his little blowhole. Like, yeah. he hopes he's gonna like get a bullet in there and like it's gonna blow itself up or something.
Oh, wait a second. I'm supposed to put in the air tank before I shoot him? Fuck.
I mean, it'd be really great considering how cartoonish this movie is. I mean, I would not have been shocked to see him pick up a comically large cork and like hammer it into the blowhole.
And just mallet it shut. Like, ha ha ha. Breathe now, dum dum.
Exactly. The whale turns purple, becomes cylindrical, and then explodes.
I mean, that is more explainable than how the shark dies in Jaws the Revenge, Gina. That shark just blows up for reasons.
Yeah, he does some sort of like Bob Fosse dance troupe, lifting up on his, elegantly lifting up on his tail and kind of just politely walking into the stern.
The cigarette is implied in Jaws the Revenge. But here, they find their way onto various places of the ice, trying to avoid jumping into the whale's mouth because that's the only thing that hasn't happened. And then the whale bumps an iceberg so hard that Richard Harris falls onto a very flat ice floe. And you're thinking, okay, I see here. Charlotte Rampling throws him a gun that he barely catches. Don't worry, it does not come into play. Because what happens is John Whale leaps up into the air and comes down on the far end of the ice floe, therefore causing it to tilt at 45 degrees until Richard Harris just spills into the water. You're like, okay, all right. Then we spend a couple minutes with just Richard Harris floating around, watching this whale surround him. He can do nothing. And the whale's like, hold on, I'm getting into position. Hold on, stay right there. Hold on. Then the whale gets Nolan on his tail and fucking catapults him into an iceberg.
Just launches him like a cannon.
It's like Angry Birds with a drunk Irishman. And he does not have multiple Irishmen to bring that iceberg down. He just launches him into that ice floe and is like, fuck y'all, and swims away as a helicopter approaches.
Yeah, I loved this iceberg set. It did seem like they just made paper mache icebergs and put them out in the ocean somehow. I thought this like looked really cool. I mean, it looks super fucking fake, and you could tell it is 100 degrees out, and they all have to wear winter coats.
Everyone's sweating in the cold. No one's breath is being seen. It is bright as hell out.
But yeah, I just kind of loved the ingenuity. Like, they didn't have to have the, you know, the final scene in amongst icebergs, but they fucking did it. They figured it out. Yeah. Somebody's kid went to the craft store and got paper mache and made all those icebergs. I love it.
Yeah.
I will say you don't have to watch the entire movie, and I don't recommend it because the parts, as is often the case with animal attacks movies, the parts involving just when it's ever just only just humans on the screen, everything just comes to a dead standstill. But if you watch the best bits on YouTube, I highly recommend. Normally, I would never say read the comments, but I'm going to recommend reading the comments because I'm pretty sure many of the people commenting thinks that whales could actually do the things that the whale in this movie does. And it is breathtaking. They're like, this is so beautiful. Nature is the majesty of nature.
Yes.
As he like flips a guy like a pancake off his tail.
Oh my God. Just catapults him into a hard surface and is like, my work here is done. Fuck y'all. Double birds as he's swimming away, you know, away from Charlotte Rampling. Like, you can live. Yeah,
you're cool. You're cool. All right.
And then to add insult to injury, over the credits, and you're thinking, okay, it's an Ennio Morricone score. I'm going to listen to this. He's great. And then all of a sudden, someone starts singing.
Not just like singing, like caterwauling.
I mean, this song is just like, I mean, if you were to, like, what does 70s cheese sound like, Daddy? You would play them this song. What does, like, 70s love theme cheese sound like? It is, I don't know anything about this song. Yeah, I guess Ennio Morricone had something to do with it. I don't know who's singing, but it is so sappy. I loved it. I was just like, yes, this is the perfect cap off to this movie.
Just so everyone is aware, this song has a title. We Are One.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just, people describe it as epic. I don't think it is. At one point, she caterwauls about the rainbows in your eyes. I just saw a man fly into an iceberg.
Well, it's very much in keeping with a lot of 70s disaster movies, which I would, I guess this would be classified as a disaster movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, kind
of. A lot of them had like these really sappy theme songs. You know, you've got like The Morning After from.
There's got to be a Morning from, After.
The Poseidon Adventure. I think the Airport had one. They all had these really oddly romantic sounding theme songs to them that really had nothing to do with the plot of the movie they're attached to.
Yeah. And I need to sing a song to you all right now. And that's called Choose Your Own Death Venture. That's where we decide of the deaths in this film. If you were forced to die in one of those ways, well, which one would you choose and why? Up for bid, we have chewed by a killer whale a bit. Just a little. snatched off the edge of a ship. Chomped in half. Crushed by falling ice for no fucking reason, or catapulted by tail into an iceberg, the boing sound is implied. And so, Jordan, as our guest, I choose you to go first.
Yeah, I don't think you mentioned it, but I would want to be sprayed off the deck of a ship with a hose, like the
okay,
like the baby.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, certainly that whale's a life of a certain degree.
This is not meant to be a reproductive rights conversation.
Well, you're the one who brought your woke mind virus onto our show.
Here we Jordan. Go.
Right? Am I right, Gina? You have to back me up.
Yeah,
I'm right?
I think you might be right here.
Okay. Okay. That's perfectly acceptable. Gina, what say you?
Yeah, well, you know what? Honestly, I won't take Mrs. Whale, but I do, you know, I would appreciate, you know, my death being, you know, so mourned by my loved ones, an entire town is blown up over it and several people sure. killed avenging me. Because that would be cool. Uh-huh. But since I generally try to choose a human death, I guess I'm going to go ahead and be just crushed by falling ice, because I probably would be okay. Like, hey, avalanche, never seen one of the
right.
Whoa, cool.
By the time the thoughts through your mind, a giant chunk of ice is through exactly. your mind. That exactly. sort of deal. Yeah. There's no way I'm not getting catapulted by a whale's tail into an iceberg.
And then you have Charlotte Rampling to like just tell everybody about it.
Right. Like the most beautiful woman on earth, tell my tale and dead. Tail was a pun. Did you get it? As I slide dead. Into
I was making a joke.
It was so funny. Before we go, of course, Jordan, wanted to tell people everything you got going on right now.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Hey, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a horror fan and you're probably a comedy fan. Great news. I've got a YA horror comedy graphic novel coming out soon. And you can pre-order it now. As we mentioned at the top of the show, it's called Youth Group, script by me, art by the great Bowen McGurdy. It is the story of a bunch of teenage exorcists. They're part of like a goofy Bible study group, but they also have to go out and actually slay demons. So, yeah, it's Ooh. Got Buffy the Vampire Slayer vibes. It's got Shaun of the Dead vibes, if those are things that you like. And, we could really use your pre-order. You can do that at Amazon. You can do that at Barnes & Noble. Better yet, your local indie bookstore. There's a little website you can go to, bit.ly/youthgroupbook, bit.ly/youthgroupbook. You can see some of the art, you can see the great cover, and you can get all those pre-order links. So yeah, if it looks like a cool book, if it sounds like a cool premise, we'd love it if you throw us a pre-order. It really helps books. I don't really know why, but it does. So,
hey, for whatever reason, it's a metric for graphic novels and comic books where it wouldn't be so much for anyone else. But this sounds great. I'm running off to do it right now. Everyone should. I've been loving your stuff in other places, your Archie stuff as well. And, you know, you are a podcasting legend. People should be supporting what you're doing out there because it's good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And yes, definitely appreciate people checking out the book. I'm excited about it.
Yes, excellent. Gina, where can people find and hear more from you on these here internets?
I write about television and movies at thespool.net. I have a Substack, ginawatchesthings.substack.com. And I am on most social medias under Gina Does Things.
Do it today. People, check it out. Of course, Josh Hollis does our artwork. And Revenge Body Memphis at bandcamp.com for this theme and all the remixes. And of course, go to our Patreon for excellent bonus content like bonus episodes, movie commentaries, and so much more. Rate, review us on your podcatcher of choice. It helps us be seen and heard by more people. If you like listening on YouTube, guess what? We're there now too. It's weird. I don't understand it, but someone thought it was a good idea, and so we're there. And that just about does it for now, but don't worry, folks. More aquatic attacks are forthcoming, and the body count will continue. For myself, for Gina, and Jordan, bye-bye, everybody. Bye.